And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, May 8th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Thank God it's Friday, Melody.
Each Friday is beginning to look a little bit better every day, every week. Geez Louise.
You've got some serious social distancing to do this weekend.
Yes. It's Mother's Day this weekend.
I know.
So let's go ahead and see what gold did today. We have gold. $11 to the downside, 1708. Silver was up 12 pennies today at 1558. Platinum was up $6 at 772, and palladium was down 8 at 1933. The USDX today was down 0.12 at 99.76. Crude oil was up another buck at 24.57. And the paper markets today, let's bring those up. You know, 451 points, 24,327. The NASDAQ was up 141 at 9,121. The S&P is up 48 at 2,929. 10-year yield, 0.68. The world is happy. I don't know why everybody has to get back to work so soon. It doesn't, the stock markets are doing fine, right? So give us a little more time off there.
33 you know million unemployed. Let's go up a couple of percentage points.
You know what's interesting, and I have a job for you.
Is this for listeners or for me?
This is for you.
Oh, okay.
The sector performance, all right, mm-hmm. It's all negative. Mm-hmm. You got retail down, communications down, utilities down 9%, technology services 9%, health services down.
And employment? Are we talking about employment now?
No, just the overall sector performance. Okay. Sector performance. Commercial services down 18%. They're all negative. All. And it just they've been like that. I've been noticing. I never paid any attention to this group of numbers, of stats. But I mean, I've been noticing that when the stock market has been going up since we had that big dip, all of these sectors, consumer durables, consumer non-durables, electronic technology, commercial services, transportation, finance, they're all negative. And I just find that interesting. So I'd like to know why. I'd like to know why. Anyway, so
Sounds good. There's your assignment.
There's your assignment.
I'm looking at earnings.
Would it just be all earnings?
Not all, but I suspect it's that accounts for a lot of it in the first quarter and the second quarter. But let's do some research.
All right. Okay. So that was pretty much it. There's some pretty hefty headlines out there. We're going to touch on one, of course, on the employment. But, you know, we need to talk a little bit about the Fed tops $25 trillion for the first time. It jumped $1 trillion in just 28 days. Let that sink in.
What's that, the balance sheet? Or the debt?
The federal debt.
Oh, the debt.
Tops $25 trillion. Oh, and I didn't mean that to you. I meant to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Federal debt tops $25 trillion for the first time. Jumped $1 trillion in just 28 days. And everything is happy and fine. It's really, the numbers are just staggering. Just staggering. We've had for today another report that's staggering. The impact of the labor market It slashed 20.5 million workers from non-farm payrolls. And, of course, sending the headline unemployment rate skyrocketing to 14.7%. This is all from the Labor Department this morning. Certainly, both numbers easily smashed post-World War II era records. The April's unemployment rate topped the post-war record of 10.8%, but was short of the Great Depression high estimated at 25%, just shy. And, you know, I did have a caller today, and he says, you know, everybody's comparing this today, and I'd like your opinion, Dave. Everybody's comparing the numbers to the Great Depression, but you got to remember, people-wise, there was a whole lot less people back there in the Depression. So you're kind of comparing apples to oranges. Things were different back then.
Yeah. And secondly, the methodologies for calculating unemployment were different as well.
True.
We'll get to that in a second as you get into the U6 government measure.
Well, you know, they're looking at the quote-unquote silver lining. And it's pretty much just the realization that the economy cannot possibly get any worse. Yeah. And I beg to differ with that. It can get a lot worse.
You want
to bet? It can get a lot worse. And a more encompassing government measure called U6, which includes those not looking for work as well as those holding part-time jobs for economic reasons, hit an all-time high of 22.8%. That's your real number. It's more accurate picture of the current job situation with so many people having to stay home. They can't look for a job. And its previous worst level was 17.2% in April of 2010. Now that's a pretty decent comparison.
Yeah, 23% versus 25%. That's close. And in fact, there are some other economists and analysts, and these are mainstream folks who still believe that there are significant amounts of unemployed workers who haven't been counted because they've had a difficult time, a frustrating time, filing claims on their state unemployment commission's websites, or because some have found it so difficult they haven't even bothered to apply at all yet. But the jump in the real unemployment rate, the 23%, reflects a plunge in the labor participation rate to just about 60%, and that's its lowest level since 1973. Of course, these April numbers represent a stark reversal for a jobs market that had been, some say it was on fire just 2 months ago. We don't think it was ever as good as it was proclaimed to be. But February saw a payroll gain of 230,000. That was high for a recovery that lasted just about 11 years, at least as measured by the government. Now, the month's total, I'm not sure which numbers when they say the month's total was revised. It looks like it was March. Was revised down 45,000. Not surprising. March's initial report, a loss of 700. Oh, maybe that was February. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. March's initial report, a loss of 701,000, was also revised to 870. And I'm sure that a lot of those are those people that are getting caught in the throes of difficult websites. In all, the rolls of the unemployment surge to 23+ million, jump of 16 million over March as governments across the country continued placing stringent restrictions on what businesses could be open. Now, multiple states are beginning to relax those rules, but about 60% of the economy remains under stay-at-home orders. Melody.
Well, you know, that's everybody thinks that all of these numbers are just going to come back, that it's only temporary. And when we think about the depression numbers, I mean, that was over a period of years. And it's like, this is just a period of 2 months. And it really is incredible that when you think, and a lot of these are, you know, the joblessness came largely due to part-time layoffs. That's how many people are working in this country part-time. So when you're looking at a 3.2% number, it's all part-time. The majority, many. And it's just like, that makes for a great economy. When people have to work multiple jobs, they can't get full-time jobs, because with a full-time jobs, heaven forbid, they got to pay health care, maybe. Can't have that. I've already been reading that companies are trying to pull away the health care from employees. They're going to be rewriting all kinds of things for the employees. If you want to work, now's our chance. We don't have to give you what we gave you once before.
Higher deductibles, higher copays.
You bet. So, hey, it's a great economy, though. Everybody applauds. That stock market is high. Good grief. How much difference is that from Venezuela? Stock market highs? Yeah, people aren't eating in the street. Oh, I'm sorry. Some of them are now. Farmers are throwing away food because our government can't manage it properly. Good grief. Anyway, let me get back on track. Full-time workers fell by 15 million for the month, while part-time part-timers plunged by 7.4. As expected, the biggest hit was to the leisure and hospitality industry. They lost 7.7 million workers. 5 million of them came from eating and drinking establishments. Manufacturing and other services dropped by 1.1 million apiece. Government only fell by 980. How many employees does government have?
Oh, several million.
And they dropped by 980,000. Construction dropped 975. Transportation and warehousing fell by 584. The total employment level of 133 million fell to its lowest since June 1999. Dave.
Well, some are suggesting that if there's a silver lining in these numbers, it's that roughly 4 in 5 workers, 78% surveyed by the government, see their layoffs as temporary. Yeah. That is, they see themselves going back to work within 6 months. Now, we're going to dive deeper into this later on in the program. But listen, the number of employees who see themselves as temporarily furloughed was 18 million. That's up from 1.8 in March. There's this one Wall Street analyst who is interpreting that number to say that workers should be able to more seamlessly be rehired upon reopening. I think that was a Bank of America analyst. But timing, she said, is of the essence. Again, putting a glass half full perspective. Those who say they're temporarily furloughed, expecting to be back to work within 6 months, that's being viewed as a potentially good sign for the economy. If only it were the case, Melody.
Let's see, how much time do we have left? We're going to go in. We've talked about this, I think, throughout the week, off and on, about how what's happening to the state's revenues and could force choices between raising taxes or gutting services and laying off public employees. I think all of that's going to happen. They're going to raise taxes, they're going to gut, and they're going to lay off. They don't have a choice. Even if some of these states move forward trying to reopen, the economic ramifications of being shut down is it's just not going to go away. The numbers might change, like we see, you know, we're going to see the unemployed numbers get better, but the damage that is done to the people is still there. Uh-huh. I think this is kind of the same thing. So I don't think things are going to bounce back as quickly as everyone is projecting, although this is an election year, so everything will be done possible. And, you know, you mentioned something about the unemployed not being fully reported. The ones that have lost jobs, they just haven't had time or, you know, they uh-huh. had difficulties. I can remember on the early onset, like the first month, maybe it would have been March, where the states were encouraged not to report numbers.
Oh, yeah,
fully.
Right, right.
From the government, from the federal government, from the administration. Well, you know, maybe you can kind of keep some of those numbers under wrap.
Don't make us look too bad.
Don't, you know, keep that confidence going, to keep that stock market going. So that's another reason some of those numbers might be a little skewed. But they are planning to introduce some bipartisan legislation maybe as soon as next week. They're trying to create a $500 billion fund to help the struggling states and the municipality budgets. One of the senators is Bob Menendez and Bill Cassidy. Bill Cassidy says, what I don't want to happen is all this money spent for families and for employers to go to waste because cities cannot provide essential services. Excuse me, this is the time to step up to the plate. Yeah, let's move that trillion-dollar number higher. So far, there are figures for about one in four states that compare this April state income and sales tax revenue collections against those from April of 2019, and the data shows collections dropping between 20% and more than 50%, depending on the state. There's a lot of services, yeah.
California down, well, $54 billion budget shortfall through fiscal year 2021. And that's with a $21 billion surplus last year. New York State's latest projection, shortfall of over $13 billion. Illinois, $4.6 billion. Arizona, $500 million. It's pretty crazy. Accounting for state emergency savings accounts, which before the pandemic, in many cases, were at all-time highs, 33 states will likely need to fill budget gaps of 5% or more.
Oh, there's the music. That means we're heading into a break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at DGScoins.com. DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, you know, Dave, it hasn't been, but when did the market crash? 10,000 points?
Which time?
The last time, March. And
yeah, yes.
Everybody was hopping into gold.
Mm-hmm.
Product couldn't be found. It didn't take long for stories to start being exposed to what happens to people when they get in this mode and they want to buy gold and silver and they follow the wrong people. They follow the wrong advice. And one thing, I've been talking to a lot of people, and it's with the internet, everybody thinks they know more than the person who's in charge of selling the items to you. I found that more now, this time around, than back in during the Great Recession. Dave, and I was talking to someone earlier this week, and I said, yeah, it's really hard because, you know, people have this idea. This is all they want. They don't listen to reason. They don't listen to common sense because they're online. They gather their views and whatever, and they know more than you. Now the stories are beginning to unfold about people who are out there buying, you know, $30,000-$40,000 worth of thinking that they're getting an investment, and all of a sudden they only have like $15,000 worth of product. They're being told, oh, you're going to get product in 2 weeks. We'll be able to, 3 weeks. Next thing, it's turned into 4 months. There's all kind of stories now that are beginning to unfold. And it only took 1 month, or since March, until they, you know, really started to hear the big stories with the big money. These people on TV that sell these ounce and a half coins, they got to be the worst. When I, you know, when you have a customer that only gets, that investment is only valued at half of the amount.
Melanie, why are people buying ounce and a half coins?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't, and particularly when it comes to gold or silver, you're right. People don't know the measurements. Same way with grams. If you buy in grams, I'll guarantee you, you're getting taken. It's the same way with half-ounce silver. Why would anybody buy half-ounce silver? I'll guarantee you, you're getting taken. You can get more silver if you buy the 1 ounce. When it comes to gold, that's a little different. You can buy fractional pieces. And yes, you do pay more for your smaller coins more than your larger piece. The smaller you go, the more you pay. But it's gold, not silver. Big difference. Apples and oranges. So it's interesting to hear, and the names of some of these, I'm kind of surprised. There's absolutely no reason that you wait 4 months for product. No reason whatsoever.
It sounds like my experience for a new printer.
But I didn't bet you didn't pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for it, though.
You're right. And I certainly didn't buy it from you. I would have had it in 3 days.
I mean, it's okay to wait. You know, and but when people don't call you back, and that was the, you know, wow, we had a call for weeks and we finally get a call. They're not returning your call. And this is what happens to every dealer, that what happens, they start speculating. And the next thing you know, you have big price swings to the upside. And the next thing you know, the new money is buying old product. And then something else happens, and then all of a sudden you just can't catch up. And then the deliveries get longer and longer. 4 months is a long time. And there's absolutely no reason that should happen. So be careful out there. And just because you learn things on the internet, and I know you're listening to this program, so you know better. You know better. But all my new people that don't listen to this program, you know, they get caught up in what they know on the internet. And then they end up making bad decisions. And it's costing them lots of money. So I just wanted to share, because these stories I've just heard in the past day or two. And I just thought, well, gee, that didn't take long. But so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And sometimes if you make a bad, if you spend $40,000 and it's only worth $20,000, you just can't trade it out and think that you're going to get, because the real market for it, the real market price, you can't find prices online. You have to get real national wholesale bid prices. And it depends on how much you lose. Sometimes it's not worth trading it out. Sometimes it is. It depends on each individual, and the numbers have to be run to see if it's workable or not. You know, sometimes you can have swings in the prices and in the spot markets that can make it a little bit more. And sometimes you can. Maybe you only take half of it and put it into something else to reposition your portfolio. So, you know, gold doesn't have to go up $2,000 to break even. No wonder dealers get such a bad rap. It's amazing, Dave. It really is. And it's not the first or second time. It happens every single time you have people panic. And they don't think. And they have the money in their hand, and they'll listen to whoever promises the most. And some of these guys have great I don't know about their reputations, but they have strong voices that are heard everywhere. So you have a tendency to have a little bit more confidence. Heck, there was the preachers, the pastors from, were they Louisiana or Arkansas, I think, one of the two. I mean, everybody just thought they were, you know, hey, I can trust them. Well, they're sitting in jail now. And they went on for how long? Everybody knew in the business, everybody knew. Everybody knew, well, you can't do what they're doing for long. But they were able to do it because they were pastors, they were able to keep it going a little bit longer than most. But yeah, it's amazing. And this market is not regulated, and that's why they can do it. That's why there's so many Wall Streeters in this market. You know, they probably couldn't make a living in Wall Street, so they came into the gold market one way or another. It's not regulated. That's the beauty of it. But it also gives you the open door for people to take advantage of you. So let's talk about the Fed funds, because I think this is interesting, Dave. And I'm not quite sure, maybe you can explain it, of how it, you know, the Fed, about the Fed funds futures contracts. Maybe you can explain that, and what is the impact of it?
Well, we're seeing that every Fed funds futures contract from December 2020 through January 2022 closed above par yesterday. And that's implying a potential for fractionally negative interest rates during that, you know, 2-year time frame almost. Well, 1 year, a little over 1 year. Now, what happens, as many listeners probably know, let's just take a basic example. Say you're buying a $1,000 2-year treasury bill, and say the coupon rate, the interest rate on that is, let's say, 0.16%, roughly what it closed at today. So you're paying $1,000, and that's known as its par value, to get an interest rate of 0.16% over a year's time. Now, just how trading goes, it's part of it, you know, supply and demand, and for whatever reasons, in the secondary market, people are now bidding on your $1,000 bill for say $1,050. Well, that higher par value drives down the interest rate, and depending on how much above the par value these biddings are going for, the yield on that bill, treasury bill or note, is going to be below zero or negative percent. So that's what happened yesterday anyway. We haven't seen what's going on today, if that's continuing. But Wall Street was quick to recommend fading that potential for negative rates. After all, Fed Chair Jerome Powell himself said that they wouldn't be negative rates, would not be appropriate policy for the U.S. And for what it's worth, there's solid evidence behind that view. Powell, in his most recent press conference, said that the Fed was at its effective lower bound multiple times, that is, at 0%. 0 to 0.25%. And in general, interestingly, all central banks around the world have been running away from negative rates lately.
But that's the only way they can really sustain what they're doing.
It is.
It's the only... So
this can't come as a surprise.
Yeah. And they'd rather... Isn't this just their way of pushing into negative territory without actually saying... We're going negative. I mean,
sure.
You know, it's
the secondary market can be a beautiful thing. Yeah. It's largely beyond the control of government, the Treasury, and the Fed.
Now, does this get worse as we go through finding out the damage that has really been done, not just here but globally?
Now, that's a good question. We're seeing that some of these banks, the European Central Bank, Bank of Japan, which have been in negative territory for some time, not as deep as Germany, but they're trying not to go any lower. And... you know, how things will turn out in the secondary market is really, in my humble opinion, just speculation. I suspect in the short run, there's good reason to believe that some negative rates will be a reality. But as the economy starts to open up again, whenever that is, logic suggests, you know, I was going to say logic suggests that rates will start to rise, along with inflation and what have you. But we're kind of in uncharted territory here in some ways, and I just don't know that we can give any reasonable guidance on how things are going to turn out.
Is there anyone that's even concerned? I mean, other than, you know, those who we read and follow ones. I mean, you don't hear anyone that's... It's just... I guess if you don't talk about it, I guess Greenspan's, it's not what we do, it's what we say. So if we don't say anything, everything's okay.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, there've got to be people out there, economists, analysts, traders, investors, who see this as a potentially negative factor, particularly in the medium and longer term. But I think because of the uncharted territory, I just have a feeling that the models that they're used to making their own decisions have just been upended, and I think they're probably afraid, to take too firm of a stand for fear of losing credibility. So I think we're seeing a lot of reticence out there. People who we normally hear from are being quiet. It's a good point you raise.
And you know what? That's what makes this so dangerous, because people are being quiet, and there's no warning to anyone.
Yeah.
And they let the market, the paper markets, be their guide. And I mentioned this to someone earlier today. I said, you know, someone asked me about why they should own gold. And, you know, you start explaining it to them, and how much should I have? And you start explaining. And then it's like they don't want to know why. They know there's something wrong, but they don't hear the negative parts. And like you said, everybody's keeping quiet. So, hey, that stock market's going to go up like a rocket. So we're good. It's amazing. It really is. Let's go ahead and talk about... let's see. You pick a topic, Dave.
Well, we're probably less than a minute away from a break. A lot of interesting thing. 4.1 million homeowners skipping monthly mortgage payments. The past week, almost 250,000 more borrowers took advantage of the government mortgage bailout, Melody.
Wow. Hey, we're heading into break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The whole thing should be a shoot. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It seems like the trade negotiators have wrapped up the framework of President Trump's trade deal in December. China may have provided a missed clue about the coronavirus outbreak already unfolding there. Insistence on provision allowing for an out in case of a natural disaster or other unforeseeable event. Such force majeure language, while common in commercial contracts, is rare in trade agreements, particularly between two countries with economies that are so large, like the U.S. and China, that they are essentially immune to localized floods and droughts. So no such provision existed in the massive transposition partnership negotiated under former president, nor in the United States-South Korea agreement that was modified under President Trump. A limited provision was included in the revised North American Free Trade Agreement under President Trump in the food export section for the purpose of ensuring food security. But the language insisted upon by China in December creates an exit path for the entire agreement and should have seen as another warning sign about the virus outbreak. It reads, in the event that a natural disaster or other unforeseeable event outside the control of the parties delays a party from timely complying with its obligation under this agreement, the parties shall consult with each other. So when this was done, they all knew this then. They all knew what was happening.
Well, interestingly, you know, the U.S., which was eager to seal the China deal, the Phase One deal, apparently did nothing to push China for details about the virus at the time, and instead praised Xi Jinping for his transparency about the matter. The White House, the Treasury Department, and the U.S. Trade Rep's Office apparently is being quiet about this out provision. Critics say it should have been seen as yet another red flag that was missed by the administration in their zeal to finalize a deal to partially unwind the trade war ahead of the this fall's presidential election. Outside trade experts said they weren't particularly surprised that China insisted on such a provision. Unlike most trade pacts, which are mutual agreements to lower or even eliminate tariffs, the U.S.-China Accords, essentially a promise from China to buy a certain quantity of U.S. goods in exchange for reduced U.S. import tariffs. We're seeing in another report released today that China apparently not living up to their obligations so far to buy more product, U.S. product. Not surprising, given the nature and scope of the pandemic. But Mary Lovely, who's an econ professor at Syracuse University, said, this isn't a trade agreement. It's more like a hostage negotiation. Well, whatever it is, it's still in effect for now. But whether or not this force majeure provision causes any havoc remains to be seen. I mean, hasn't the president already been threatening in the last week or so to, you know, to scrap the deal if China doesn't get with it and purchase more U.S. goods?
Was that clause for both sides or just for China?
I believe just for China.
Why wouldn't our trade negotiators you wonder why they wouldn't question that unless they knew.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It could be. It could be that. It my sense is that Trump's desire to have a good relationship with Xi, at least on the surface, is driving the U.S.'s how the U.S. is reacting to this right now. I mean, using proxies to be, you know, to level criticism at China as opposed to the senior officials and the president himself leveling it.
Well, you know, we saw that, you know, and those tariffs did have a major impact and created higher costs to American consumers, farmers. They've lost billions in sales to China. Of course, they had a $28 billion bailout to the farmers while falsely claiming that the money came from China and not U.S. taxpayers. Those funds have not made up for those losses growers have suffered. The structure of the agreement is kind of like Mexico paying for the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The structure of the agreement leaves Trump with no recourse should China to fail to hit that purchase goal, other than simply canceling the agreement and jacking the tariffs back up. And then, of course, that would hurt the American manufacturers, consumers, and the farmers once again. You don't hear a lot of folks talking about Africa. But the Africa-wide free trade agreement will create the world's biggest commerce zone by area, with a potential market of 1.2 billion people and a combined gross domestic product of $2.5 trillion when fully operational in 2030. Do you think they'll work less than the Chinese workers? I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know how much less they can pay, but I would think that the help would be a whole lot less. Now, the virus could delay its startup by 6 months. The consideration for postponement doesn't mean that there no longer is political will and that there is no longer political commitment. Now, this was the Secretary General of the African Continental Free Trade Area. We have to adjust to conditions that unfortunately nobody could have anticipated. And, you know, he goes on and on. But that is kind of interesting that they're creating this huge trade bloc. And well, we've seen how China has been in there.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's no wonder China and the U.S. to a lesser extent have been showing more and more interest in certain parts of Africa. Boy, to have not sure what the potential is in dollar terms or yuan terms, but to have a coordinated, organized African commerce. But it certainly wouldn't be peanuts. And I think more than perhaps financial incentives for China and the U.S., I'm sure there's more of more in the way of strategic and military goals behind their thinking.
But that is interesting, and it's and I heard someone talking about how they might, since everybody's beginning to work at home, that they could actually see IT jobs grow here in the States because people can work at home.
Oh.
So yeah. I'm not sure the guy with just the high school education will be able to. I don't think that'll be helpful for him, but they didn't define what IT comprise of.
A lot of these 2-year technical schools now have been pushing the IT certification programs, people coming out with associate degrees and certifications in certain products, hardware and software, So you qualify to be an administrator of certain platforms. So that's an interesting news item there, Melody.
Yeah, because they said that places like India, they just don't have the infrastructure to work from home. You know, a lot of these Asian countries, they can't go there.
Yeah, so overcrowded. Yeah, I guess they don't have the infrastructure.
Yeah, they don't have the infrastructure. Yeah. So, you know, your blog came out today, and Humpty Dumpty?
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Humpty
Melody,
Dumpty.
Yeah, the question is, will we be able to put him back together again? Humpty Dumpty, in this case, a metaphor for the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
And when the coronavirus crisis is over, at least the worst of it, the worst of the first wave, perhaps, is under control, the U.S. economy likely still going to be the biggest in the world, probably by far. But in other ways, things are going to feel a lot smaller. Growth rates will be lower, big crowds will be fewer, profit margins will be tighter. You know, life will continue in many ways, but nothing's going to be the same for a long time, if ever again. You know, Nick Colas, who co-founded DataTrek Research, says there'll be lower densities of people everywhere, and that affects restaurants and bars and sports and virtually everything else.
You write that the size of the world and the magnitude of the task of rebuilding will be important as federal, state, and local policymakers try to piece together this Humpty Dumpty economy.
We'll call it HDE.
Okay.
Well, what a challenge it's going to be. I mean, it's incredible. Loss of jobs, 33 million plus over less than 2 months. These thriving businesses have closed indefinitely. Others filing for bankruptcy. How many tens of thousands more are going to be in the same boat by the time restrictions are relaxed? I mean, U.S. manufacturing had already been in a deepening recession. Retail and restaurants could take years to come back to whatever the new normal is going to be. And all but a few governments, state and local is what I'm referring to, are going to be hamstrung in providing services we've come to take for granted. Now, some region of the country are taking the first steps, albeit on their tiptoes, you know, back to, quote, normalization. I mean, these reopened areas are going to serve as fishbowls for the rest of the country. They're looking to relax their own restrictions, but don't want to do it first. And those fishbowls are going to provide a window into just how quickly the king's horses, men and women, could get this $21.5 trillion U.S. economy back together again. I mean, we know GDP shrank at least 4.8% in the first quarter. We are almost certain that it will be revised. That figure will be a greater contraction than that 4.8% when it's revised in a couple of weeks. Of course, the worst decline since the Great Recession.
Hmm. You say to look for some, you know, key trends developing in the next few months?
Yeah, restaurants and retails again. Struggling how to rearrange their seating. What happens in clothing stores when customers want to try on something? Sports events are going to return, but mainly with fans watching from home. And all of it's going to come up against a backdrop that will force people to keep a safe distance from one another. And that's something that just is not cool with a culture like ours that we know is highlighted by hugs and handshakes and kisses. The issue is going to be, can you get people feeling like the new normal feels like the old normal? That's according to Datatrex Colas. Now, I understand where he's coming from. I mean, as Colas observes, you can at least hang out with your friends in the backyard while maintaining social distance. This is in the future. But at least people are coming over again. But I think, rather than look at getting back to the old normal, we ought to instead start getting used to the idea of a new one. I believe that for leaders, from the president on down to mayors, managing expectations should be job number one. Of course, finding a safe treatment for COVID-19. And if nothing else, Melody, that means leveling with us at all times, not sugarcoating the realities we confront. In short, it means telling the truth as they know it.
Now, which that's the problem. They don't know it.
There you go. And how that translates into renewed economic activity, well, that's the question, isn't it? I mean, for sure, time will tell.
You know, I think, you know, everybody wants, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, jobs are just going to, oh, we're out of time. I didn't realize I wanted to make my statement, but I guess I'll just have to hold it until Monday. My statement will be safe this weekend, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll be back on Monday. So until then, good night and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.